your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to Alchemy. Today, I have the pleasure to sit down with Socrates Rosenfeld. Socrates is the CEO of Jane Technologies. Socrates, it's really awesome to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
So for those of us that are tuning in, Jane Technologies is a retail tech company, creator of iHeartJane.com, which is an awesome end-to-end cannabis marketplace. And, Socrates, let's just start with your background, because I found that very interesting and a super unique story. So you were a commander pilot in the U.S. Army for 7 years, and then you went over to the Grameen Microfinance Bank. Then you got your MBA from MIT, and then you spent some time at McKinsey, and now you're the CEO of Jane. That's a pretty amazing journey.
It's been quite the journey, and the further along I get along that journey, the more fun I'm having.
Totally. I mean, that's an amazing background. I think it would be great to maybe kick things off and, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, where you are today. Obviously, you know, being the founder of iHeartJane, like, talk to us a little bit about iHeart and the tech that powers it.
Yeah, really, quite simply, we're trying to make shopping for cannabis as straightforward, as convenient, as shopping online for just about everything else in this world, particularly given today's circumstances with COVID-19 and how that's affecting our everyday lives, particularly how we shop. You know, now shopping for cannabis is really as technically sound, or even more so, in my opinion, than other retail verticals, where now, you know, there's curbside pickup, there's delivery, there's prepayments. That's on par with how we shop for our groceries, et cetera. And we're proud of that fact and proud to have grown alongside the industry for about 3 years now.
Would you say that when you're thinking about the business, like, are you guys, say, the Amazon or the Postmates of cannabis?
You know, it's a great question. And my response to that is, as much as we'd like to be like one or the other, we're really doing something quite unique, in the sense where we're a little bit like Amazon. As a consumer, if you try to find a product on Amazon, you know, you just simply type in a category, a color, a brand, and Amazon will bring you those sellers. And now you can compare by price, you can get recommendations, you can read reviews from customers who look and act just like you. We provide that exact same experience for cannabis consumers. We are a little bit like Postmates, in the sense where Postmates really drives value to the local communities. Right, you need something picked up from a local retailer, a CVS, a restaurant, et cetera. Postmates is really kind of keeping commerce at the neighborhood or local community level. And when you combine those two worlds, this is kind of what you get with Jane, where you get the convenience of shopping on Amazon, but instead of, you know, ordering a product that's sitting in a warehouse 2,000 miles away to get to an airplane to get to your doorstep in 2 days, it's actually being sourced from a local dispensary in your neighborhood. And that's really a wonderful thing. And again, we feel really fortunate to be in the position to merge those two worlds and bring the convenience and purchasing power of a cannabis to the local communities like a Postmates.
That's amazing. So just from a platform perspective, so if I'm a customer and let's just say I buy this product that is, you know, it's flower or a pre-roll or something like that, it will provide suggestions to me. I'm like, hey, if you like this, here are some other products that you might want to try.
Exactly. And pretty soon here, we're going to be rolling out even more features with respect to, you know, what I love about Amazon or what I love about Airbnb is that I'm reading reviews from actual people who have bought that product or have stayed at that home. And, you know, as much as I love reading about expert reviews or inviting all reviews, though you can't really understand the legitimacy of it, there's something to be said about listening to people who have actually experienced the experience you intend to have, or the, you know, have bought the product that you intend to purchase. That's really important. That's something that we're going to bring to market here in the next I would say, a few weeks, which is exciting.
So, you know, from a platform perspective as well, again, what you guys are kind of bringing to the market is obviously really needed. It's amazing. But also at the same time, we are not federally compliant. So we're kind of on that state-by-state level right now. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the challenges that you guys have faced in going to market?
Oh, it's no better time than to speak of those challenges because those who have been in the cannabis industry for quite some time, you know, things we take for granted as maybe entrepreneurs in other verticals, bank accounts was a huge challenge for us. Raising money was a huge challenge for us. The ability to market and advertise ourselves has been a huge challenge for us. And so really that's what we've been experiencing. And now given the current circumstances, what a wonderful thing we are experiencing, honestly. And there's a lot of things to be perhaps sad about, but one of the perhaps silver linings in all of this is now where 3 years ago, it was very hard for us to find a bank account. You have state governments deeming cannabis businesses as essential. You know, we've come a long way in a short amount of time, at least, you know, when adult use is getting more prevalence in the mainstream. It's wonderful. And so, you know, is this ever going to go backwards? You know, I asked that question to myself and my team, and truly, I believe the answer is no. It's essential today. We've proven that this is an important product for people, both to drive value in local communities. You know, small businesses are staying open, they're employing. And then at the same time, people need this medicine probably during a time when it's most needed, and that's today. So I think we've come a long way. We'll continue to experience challenges. But I think because we're doing things the right way from all angles across the entire value chain, we're starting to gain the trust of local and state municipalities. And I think that will only gain momentum into the federal government. And so I think it's a matter of when, no longer if, this becomes an essential business across the country and perhaps across the world.
Yeah. I mean, I've had the last 2 weeks, you know, kind of as we're in the heart of this crisis, I've had a bunch of MSOs come on the show. And, you know, everyone's kind of saying the same thing. One, essential businesses, right, is, you know, at least on the cannabis side, is, you know, it's a major step. But right. Also, they have seen unprecedented rates of increases both on spend and product just because of what's happening. And so I'm just curious from your side of the business on the e-commerce side, and especially with delivery, like if you look at the month of March, have you guys seen a big spike that was a little unusual?
To say that we've seen a big spike, Jeff, would be an understatement. We have seen a step change in growth and scale and activity. And the wonderful part as a software company, if you build things right, you can accommodate that scale. And that's what we've done. You know, a recent story that I like to share is we got a call from perhaps the largest retailer in the country in California. And their management gave us a call and said, hey, we just caught wind that, you know, we have to convert to curbside pickup. We spoke to the government in California. And in less than 24 hours, we're going to need to accommodate for curbside. And they do thousands of orders a day. And honestly, Jeff, it was wonderful to be able to support them. And within 24 hours, because we build things the right way, we're able to unlock that for, you know, that large retailer, and then have you know, brought that to thousands of dispensaries around the country. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. Delivery has increased. Curbside pickup has increased. Average cart sizes have increased. And I think that, you know, as much as we love to tout the data, at the end of the day, I think it's proving more and more how important this product is for so many people, particularly during a time like this.
So I think, you know, one thing that is probably very clear, at least if I'm using iHeartJane and I have a good experience, I'm definitely going to tell my friends. But just from a marketing strategy perspective, I'm just kind of curious on how you guys are out there marketing yourselves to consumers. Is it digital? Is it email? Is it ads?
My sales and marketing team are smiling right now. I know this as if they're listening. We really don't invest in much marketing other than truly building the best technical product we can and providing the absolute best service we can to our dispensary partners and their customers. And I think we've been patient over the past 3 years to really provide significant value. And that word has spread. You know, in business schools, they like to say it's the network effect, which we like to see on marketplaces. And that is occurring here. So really, we feel fortunate, again, to be in the position that we're in where we can take perhaps the resources that we would have spent on advertising and invest that back into the technology, invest that back into providing better services for our partners. And that has worked. Obviously, it takes time, but most often good things take time. And we remain committed to that. Other than that, you know, we do send a monthly newsletter where we can keep in touch base with our consumers and provide future updates for our dispensaries. But at the end of the day, it's truly how we engage with them on a daily basis, usually in person or over the phone.
Sure. I mean, I feel like, you know, usability and design is probably a big part of what gets people to keep coming back. I had the benefit of playing around with the site, and I live in New York, so unfortunately I wasn't able to order anything, but at least from a recreational perspective, I did notice the design was pretty flawless, and I mean, everything looked really delicious between like the brownies and the, you know, fruity pebbles, rice cakes, and like all of the various products. Like, I mean, it was kind of cool. There's a lot of things that I also have never seen. And I think for kind of curious consumers who are just kind of testing this and just trying new things, to see what's out there across the whole country in different local areas is pretty amazing. You know, you can get lost in there. I think I spent an hour just looking at products and getting a grasp of just the sheer velocity between like edibles and flower and, you know, all the different brands. It's really cool.
You bring up a fantastic point where, you know, I think a lot of canna curious don't realize how different and varied cannabis can be and how personal and custom it can be. We have over 250,000 SKUs on our marketplace, everything from, you know, make your own gummies to all the, you know, concentrates you can imagine. And I think that's a testament to a good marketplace or a great marketplace. This is why we like to go to Amazon. This is why we like to go on places like Open Table, et cetera, is because it has something for everyone. And the best marketplaces are able to get you the exact right product at the exact right time, specific for you, Jeff, and no one else. And, you know, we're hard at work to do that. But I'm glad you've realized that, you know, cannabis comes in forms just beyond a flower or an edible. It can come in many different forms and a lot of
even the strips, like the sublingual. I've never seen that before. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the teas.
I have a story around that, but I'll share with you after the show. not podcast friendly. But so, you know, just kind of thinking about as we're, you know, officially in Q2, anything that you're going to be spending a good deal of time as far as focus on the platform or releasing something that you could talk about or just kind of like where you guys are going into the, you know, middle part of the year?
Yeah, I think a few areas. One is obviously what we talked about, and that is priority for us is to make sure that we are providing all the tools necessary that are critical in keeping dispensary doors open, keeping brands relevant and in front of the right consumers. And so that's priority for us. We'll continue to roll out tools like curbside delivery, et cetera. You know, kind of in that same light, we're working on online payments. We now provide through our partnerships with Campay and Hyper and soon to be others, the ability now for consumers to prepay. And so that's even more convenient where you don't have to handle cash or the employees don't have to handle cash. And it makes curbside even that much more efficient. But I think ultimately, really, it's what we had just been talking about, Jeff, and that's the ability to curate and customize the hundreds of thousands of products on our platform specific for that individual user. You know, I love going on Spotify and learning and discovering new tracks and artists. There should be no reason why cannabis can't be the same. We draw parallels between cannabis and music internally as a company all the time, right? You could listen to a song and I could listen to that very same song, but that song we could respond to very differently. It can make me sad, it can make you happy. Cannabis is kind of the same way. And so, you know, whether that's by introducing custom individual product reviews, continuing to build out our algorithms in recommending curated products for the individual. That's where we're headed, and that's where we're continuing to invest, because ultimately cannabis is a personal product, and we want to make that online experience as personal as possible.
Well, you guys are definitely onto some amazing things, and I got to tell you, it's great to see something like this out in the marketplace, and I think a lot of consumers are really digging it. So we're going to continue to watch what you're doing. And if you've listened to the show before, you know, we kind of talk a little bit about business in the beginning, and then we, you know, switch over to some quick fire questions. There's nothing to be nervous about. They're super easy. First thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
I am ready.
What was your favorite book growing up?
Catcher in the Rye.
Dogs or cats?
I love all animals, but definitely dogs.
If you could teach any grade or any subject for that matter, what would it be?
Senior in high school, and I would like to teach philosophy.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's my name. I can't help it.
Exactly, right? Could you imagine actually having a Socrates as a teacher?
I think the students would think it was a joke.
Yeah. So if you could think back, how old were you when you had the worst haircut ever?
Oh my God. I do know that. I had a horrible, my dad used to cut my hair. I love him, and I'm sorry, Dad, but not a good barber. Sixth grade, I was 12 years old, I believe. It was a rough time in middle school.
I think a lot of us are going to start looking like that soon. Right? Just about there. What advice did you get that was the most rewarding? If you think back, you know, either growing up or even when you were a commander pilot, MIT, you know, what was the most rewarding advice that you got?
You know, it was my mother's advice when I was a very young kid, and I used to get sick, and my mom would always just say, listen to your body all the time. Now means kind of listen to my own intuition, listen to my gut, listen to kind of myself. And that has really paid dividends for me as I've, again, continued along this journey of life in so many different chapters.
Yeah, that's a good one. What's your least favorite type of music?
Oh, man. I don't hate any kind of different types of music. I would say I used to listen to country a lot when I was in the military. I am listening to country a whole lot less now, and perhaps a lot more reggae. But, you know, you can insert any stereotype or cliche you want there. But, yeah, I would say right now I'm listening to country the fewest or the least of the time.
And what's for dinner tonight?
Oh, you know, I am so blessed to have a wife that cooks healthy and delicious meals, and I feel very fortunate that I have her, particularly during this time, or else I'd be eating ice cream over the sink. I think today we're going to have something, some whole foods. She keeps me very healthy, so some garden vegetables or something like that.
Nice. Got to keep healthy.
You have to, particularly now.
Socrates, this was great, and it was awesome getting to spend a few minutes with you and hearing about your background and great story. Great product, and you know, looking forward to seeing what you guys are going to continue to do.
Thanks so much for having me on, and please stay safe.
Absolutely. You too.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in, and if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.